Hey, can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm going to ask you to stand in honor and reverence to the Word of God. Please, everyone standing. Thank you so much. The Apostle John, the beloved disciple, he's the one who gave us a picture of heaven when he was in the Isle of Patmos many, many years ago. And in Revelation chapter 21, he writes some exciting stuff, man. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes.'" Can I hear an amen? "He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death." Yes, amen. "Or sorrow," say amen. "Or crying," amen. "Or pain," amen. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." Oh man, that's good news. Let's pray. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and who is to come. What a great day when we finally get to see the city you have prepared for those of us who love you. Father in heaven, we're gonna get ready for that day. We're getting ready for heaven right now. I ask you, Father, if there's somebody either sitting here or in a minute sitting or watching me on video, if they've never given their heart to Christ, I ask you, Father, that today somebody be willing to turn their life over to Jesus so they may look forward to heaven and their heavenly inheritance. Thank you for promising so much for us who believe. We love you, God. Love you with all our hearts. Bless your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. For his sake, amen and amen. You may be seated. May God add a blessing to his word. So Shark Week ended yesterday. Shark Week was insanely good. Anybody watch it here? Okay, a few of y'all watch, a few cats. Shame on y'all. Especially since we live just a few miles away from the shark bite capital of the world, New Smyrna Beach. I still remember we were baptizing a few people over here on the Atlantic a few years ago. And man, the waves were crashing. It was pretty cool. But we found out later, in fact, there were videos of black-tip sharks right there where we were, closer to the shore than we were. And man, they didn't bite us, but they like to bite. Black tip sharks, they have 62 razor sharp scalpel teeth, and they will bite. And there's also bull sharks here in our coast and in the Indian River Lagoon. And those bad boys have 350 teeth that are serrated. So we got to pay attention. Whenever you're in the water, pay attention to where you are and what's around you. But you got to do that also on land, because there's a lot of threat here in Florida. We got gators. We got alligators, right? And there are water moccasin snakes. And there are pygmy rattlers. And there's coyotes around here. Are there coyotes? Foxes. Foxes. What do we got? Foxes or coyotes? What is it? Both, okay. There's bears and there's spiders. And wouldn't it be great if all of God's creation was tamed so that we could play with them and not be afraid of them? Imagine being in the water and here comes a water snake, right? One of those bad boys. And you pick it up and, oh, what a nice little snake. Oh, yes, yes, little snake. Or imagine if you got a crocodile by you and you see that big boy just going like that and you tackle him You just run on him and tackle him. And then you just grab him and you go rolling down the grass. Wouldn't that be awesome? Okay, there's silence in the congregation. I'm talking about alligators being tamed, okay? And us being able to enjoy all these animals without any kind of fear. It's going to happen one day when Jesus comes back. For your notes, write this down. If you are like to take notes, there are notes for you in your programs. I got to tie my shoes. Just a minute. Write down, I think the word is perfect world, right? Because a perfect world is part of your inheritance from your Father in heaven. You are a child of God, born again believer. You're going to inherit a perfect world. Now, the world today is under a curse. And that's why there's so much evil, a curse of sin. And there are natural disasters. And animals are aggressive. And people are aggressive. People can be hateful. There's a lot of mean, evil people around. If you watch the news, this guy, Koberger, he was sentenced to 4 consecutive life prisons without the ability of being paroled for stabbing all those young people, man. What's wrong with the world? What's wrong with people? So there's a problem. There's a problem everywhere. But for your notes, write this down. This is good news. When Jesus Christ returns to reign on earth, the curse of sin will be lifted. The curse of sin will be lifted. Jesus reigns on earth, man. That kind of hate and evil is not going to be really around. We started last week a series of messages that I'm calling Someone and Something to Hold On To. Because this world doesn't offer much for us to hold on to. Everything slips through our fingers. Everything we think is important is here today. And it can be gone today. But God has the things that we can hold on to. And last week we talked about God himself is the one you want to hold on to. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, you want to give your heart to Christ. You want to hold on to him because he has great love for you and he'll take care of you and he has a future prepared for you. For your notes, write the words love of God, because the love of God for you is forever. The love of God for you is forever. And Jesus will never, ever let you go. You gave your heart to Christ, he'll never, ever let you go. You may turn your back on him sometimes. You may decide to ignore him sometimes. You may decide to do whatever you want in spite of what the Holy Spirit is trying to guide you to do. And you may have to reap the consequences of your behavior, and the same for me. But I want to tell you, you can do whatever you want, but when you know Jesus, he will never, ever stop loving you, and he will never, ever let you go. One of the greatest scriptures in the Bible, I think, is John chapter 10, verse 28. Something Jesus said, this is from the New American Standard Bible. He said, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one and nothing will snatch him out of my hand. Isn't that good news? God says, I give you eternal life, and I'm going to hold on to you so tight, nothing or no one will be able to get you away from my love, my compassion, my mercy, and my grace. I think that's what Peter was writing about. We started last week talking about Peter, and we're going to hit some highlights of Peter here and there in what Peter wrote about things and God himself being someone we can hold on to. So this is what Peter wrote. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through the first part of verse 6. This is from the God's Word translation. We have been born, Peter said to his readers, we've been born into a new life. And that life begins right now, by the way, y'all. Don't wait for heaven. Heaven begins already the moment you give your heart to Christ, okay? So we have been born into a new life which has an inheritance that can't be destroyed or corrupted and can't fade away. That inheritance, that word means personal possession. God's giving you something to possess. That's yours and yours alone. Do you hear me? You got something coming your way that God has given you. He's given you a possession. That inheritance is kept in heaven for you, since you are guarded by God's powerful power through faith and salvation that is ready to be revealed at the end time. And the important thing about here is that God is not only having an inheritance for you, but he's guarding over that inheritance, and he's guarding over your life. So God's got his eyes on you. That's what Peter is saying. You are extremely happy, says this translation, about these things. For your notes, write the words heavenly goodies. You have a large piece of real estate coming your way that God has given you one day that you're going to enjoy in heaven, and a whole bunch of other heavenly goodies that you don't know anything about that are waiting for you. You want to think about something to hold on to in this world that is so temporal, and you have things today and they're gone today. Listen, hold on to the thought, I have an inheritance coming from God. I have something good coming my way that I'm going to receive when I go from this life to the next. Jesus said these words: don't store up treasures here on earth, the valuable stuff. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Jesus says, store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. What wisdom, man. What great wisdom from God. You can't take it with you. I heard of the wife who was married to a very stingy man. He was always arguing with her about her spending his money. He was always mad because she was spending all his money. He died unexpectedly. And she leaned over the casket when he was getting ready to be a funeral. And she had written out a check to her husband with all the money that was in the bank, slipped it under his clothes over there where he's about to be buried, and said, here, honey, you can have it all. Keep it. You can't take anything with you. We hold things tight, so tight. But Jesus said, hey, what you want to put your work towards, it's what's coming. Hey, we work down here, and we do what we do, and yeah, we gain some treasure, but the important thing is looking towards what's coming. Whatever you have right now, enjoy it. God bless you. But there's something great coming your way. Don't answer this question out loud, and I don't want you to raise your hands. But listen, when was the last time you started thinking about your inheritance in heaven? Don't answer me. When was the last time you thought about your inheritance in heaven? And when was the last time you got really happy about what's coming your way when you get to heaven? When's the last time you got really excited about what's coming your way in heaven? Talk to the average Christian, they're not thinking about that at all. For your notes, short statement, two words. Here's for all the believers: desire heaven. Desire heaven. Look towards it. You remember the country song, I want to get to heaven, but I don't want to go right now. Okay, yeah, we enjoy life here, but man, there's something to gain when we get there. And you want to keep your eyes focused on that. Because God inspired his word for us to read, but not only read, for us to digest. And there's a reason why God makes promises the way he has concerning what's going to happen after we die. So when we think of what God inspired, what's going to happen to us after we die, and the things we're going to gain after we die, when we do that, then all of a sudden, we are right in line with the thoughts of God. Which is what you and I want to do. I want to be right in line with the thoughts of God. The Apostle Paul wrote this, Colossians chapter 3. Check it out. This is the Apostle Paul. So we already read what Peter said. Hey, listen, you have an inheritance that is being guarded by God. In fact, your whole life is being guarded by God. And here's what the Apostle Paul wrote. Since then, he says, from the NIV, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Since then, you, the believers, have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts. That means chase after. That's what it means, literally. Set your hearts, chase after the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds, that's a different Greek word altogether, that means concentrate on the things above, not on earthly things. See what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, chase what's coming your way. That's part of what he's saying. Chase what's coming your way, but also concentrate on the things of heaven. I know we think about the things above and then hell being below. So we think about heaven and hell like up there and down here, and that's the way we're pointed to in the Bible. But what if, and this is for your notes, what if heaven is at your fingertips? I mean, you look up to heaven and you think, okay, heaven is up there somewhere. Man, how am I going to get there? It's a long way there. No. Heaven is at your fingertips. So write the word fingertips there on your nose. Think of your heavenly inheritance being as close as your fingertips. Have you ever heard somebody say, a miracle, great possibilities, is as far from you as your knees are from the floor? Have you heard that before? So listen, heaven is closer than your knees to the floor. We talked about this not long ago, about heaven. Think about heaven like an alternate reality, in a parallel universe that you can access instantly. I know you're thinking that I've been watching too many Marvel movies, but no, I mean, I'm just saying, heaven is an alternate reality. Heaven is happening right now. While we're down here, where is it? Is it up there somewhere beyond the blue? Because when you die, you go instantly there. Do you remember Back to the Future? Do you remember that crazy-looking scientist, Doc Brown? Doc Brown figured out that if you could run a DeLorean car to 88 miles an hour, and when it hit 88 miles an hour, you would hit that car with 1.21 gigawatts of power. That car would take you to a different place and a different time. Do y'all remember that, or am I the only one? Yes. Huh? Back to the Future. Yes. So, just like that, when a person dies, they go to heaven instantly. And they begin to experience the inheritance God has given them. We Hulkamaniacs were saddened by the word that the Hulkster had died this Thursday. Hulk Hogan, you know, had a cardiac arrest. That's what they claim. And he died. The good news is that the Hulkster had given his heart to Jesus and had been baptized. In fact, he called the day of his baptism the greatest day of his life. And I was watching a little interview as I'm kind of saddened and mourning the death of the Hulkster, right? And this is what he said. He said, I was sick and tired of myself, my ego, he said. I decided to turn back to my faith. I had tattooed on my back, and then they showed his back, the tattoo on his back, in Greek, I accept Christ as my Savior, and he died for my sins, and I live forever. He said, I put that on my back. What's important to me now moving forward, he said, is being the vessel to spread this message, because it's the only truth there is. Everything else is just temporary fame, the money, the ego, the physical look, he said. Everything is just temporary. I want to be a messenger for my Lord and Savior. What? That's awesome. So God began to use him. See, he was so focused on Jesus, everything else became secondary. That's the way we ought to be. Everything else secondary, Jesus primary. And we're looking forward to whatever God has for us. You say, but why do that? Why chase after heaven? Why concentrate on heaven? What is there to think about? Well, two things. For one, we already read it. Jesus is sitting on his throne in heaven. And from his throne, he rules the nations and the kings of the world. Amen? So what? This is where your focus is. My focus is, I want to think about heaven because I want Jesus to rule my heart. He is the ruler, and he's ruling. And so my focus has to be, God, I want you to rule me. So my focus has to be in heaven, because that's where Christ sits on his throne. Okay, cool. But there's other things coming your way from heaven. So I made a short list that you're going to have there in a matter of moments. And these are just little dots. Dot number one. Here's part of your inheritance. You ready? Are you ready? Only three cats said, you're ready. Are you ready for this? Yeah. All right, this is what's coming your way. This is what's coming your way. First, meeting Jesus face to face. Write that down on your notes. And here's what's going to happen in heaven. Next level worship. We're going to, one day, everybody has an appointment to meet God. Everybody, whether you go to church, whether you don't go to church, whether you love God, whether you don't love God, you're going to have to meet the Lord one day. We're going to meet Jesus one day. Man, what a joy to see the one who died for us. We picture him. I think he looks kind of Puerto Rican. To me, he looks like a Puerto Rican with a beard, okay? And I think I'm right, but whatever. We're going to meet him one day. And then we're going to have incredible worship. Have you been to a worship experience that is so good, you're riding on a spiritual high, you don't want to get down from there? It is so good, and you feel so good, you're like, oh, there ain't nothing better than this. When we get to heaven, this is part of your inheritance, my inheritance, we're going to see the Lord, praise God, and we're going to worship insane. Worship is going to happen in heaven. Mark Batterson said, I think we're going to be so God conscious in heaven that little else will matter. Second dot. What are those dots called? I forgot. Bullets. Second bullet. Thank you, my brother. I know y'all are thinking, why is he calling them dots? And you're just waiting for me to call it bullet. Thank you, bullet. Thank you. Second bullet. Having a glorified body is going to be absolutely awesome. No more pain. We were thinking about this, and Adriel did not know that we were going to go into this, but we were thinking about this. Listen, having a glorified body, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. A glorified body is going to be no joke, bro. It's going to be no joke. So glorified body doesn't break down anymore. No more death. And I think our senses are going to go bonkers. We're going to smell new smells. We're going to taste new taste, because there's going to be food in heaven. We're going to see things we've never seen before. We're going to touch things we've never touched before. Man, having a glorified body that will not break down is going to be absolutely amazing. And listen, having a glorified body that looks better than the body that we have right now, oh, man. Some of y'all are growing old. I understand that. It's all good. Yeah, but when you get to heaven, you're going to look good. Hey, you're pretty anyway. You're looking good. I'm getting wrinkles myself. But one day, we're going to be just like never before. It's going to be good. Next bullet. This is your inheritance in heaven, seeing and being with your Christian loved ones. Praise the Lord. I can't wait to see my brother again. We laugh so much when we're down here. We have such good times when we're down here. I miss him. I still miss him. He's been gone for so many years. Can't wait to see my daddy and my mom. My daddy was a clown, man. We laugh so much. I just can't wait to see. I can't wait to see Doreen's mom and dad. We had so many great times. So many intimate times together. That was awesome. So many people I miss. I miss George, Doreen's brother. I miss David. There's so many. Gonna see him again. They were all believers. Can't wait to see them again. Next bullet. Here's a part of your inheritance. Here's part of your inheritance. Good news. You're gonna have a mansion or a big room or a big living space. Whichever, just write down whatever you like. Jesus promised to give us a big living space. King James Version calls it a mansion, but it's a big room. You're gonna have a ginormous piece of real estate for you to enjoy. It's gonna be awesome. And of course, the city of gold and the streets of gold and the river that comes from the throne of God and the trees that have fruits. There's all kinds of good stuff, all kinds of great landscape. Okay, one more. Just a short list of some of your inheritance that's coming your way after you die. You know, people that don't know God are like, what's going to happen after I die? Well, the Bible tells you. Look at the Bible. Bible's never been wrong. God promised. So here's one more promise. Rewards. Write down that word, rewards for living faithfully for Jesus. you're going to get rewards for being faithful to Jesus. We've talked about this before, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time in it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul takes us to a place called the judgment seat of Christ. It's a courtroom, the judgment seat of Christ. And this is where all born-again believers are going to appear. Non-Christians will not be here, only for the born-again believers. We're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what the Bible says. And this is what the Bible says is going to happen at that judgment seat. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 14. For no one, Paul says, can lay any foundation other than the one we already have. And the foundation is Jesus Christ. So you want to build, and I want to build my life on Jesus, who I am. It does not depend on what you have or what you do or what you know. Who you are depends on Jesus. Find Jesus and take your image from him, okay? You build your life on Christ. He is the foundation. Whatever you do, he needs to be the foundation. Anyone who builds on that foundation, Paul continues, anyone who serves God, who does works for God, may use a variety of materials. And then he goes on to say gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, and straw. Verse 13. But on judgment day, that judgment seat of Christ, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. In other words, if you're working for God or doing something for God, the purifying fire of God is going to reveal whether it was a good work or a junky work. Everybody with me so far? You are? Everybody with me? Okay. If the work survives, this is verse 4, okay, the fire, the Bible says, will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through the wall of flames. Talked about this before, so I'll be short. I have imagined heaven, God's judgment of our works, as being like a giant flame-broiled Burger King machine. Okay? So in heaven, God is going to have like a giant Burger King machine conveyor belt. Just picture it with me, if you don't mind. I know some of you are looking at me like, come on, bro. You don't know. You haven't been to that judgment, so you don't know if he has a giant Burger King machine over there. And so here's the way I picture it. You get there, and you're like, okay, Jorge Acevedo, all your works. An angel brings all my works that I did while I was serving God after I gave my heart to Jesus. And all the things I've done, from going to see people, from praying, from reading the Bible, from studying to share the Bible with the people, whatever I've done, from loving my wife and loving my kids, and also the things I've done that are good and things that I've done that are not that good. I was selfish. I had an attitude, right? So those things, I'm going to put them all on God's giant Burger King machine conveyor belt. Turn on God's fire. Purifying fire. And all the things I did that were not great are going to be burned up. So if somebody comes and says, hey, can you come visit this guy at the hospital because he's asking for a pastor? And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I got to be kidding. I want to watch the game on TV and I have to go to the hospital. Hey, how you doing? It's good to see you. I get to the room. How you doing? It's good to see you. God bless you. But all the way there, I'm like, what we call in Spanish, refunfuñando. I'm refunfuñando. I can't believe I got to go to the hospital to say, well, hey, how you doing? It's good to see you. God bless you. Let me have a word of prayer with you, will you? And then I leave there. I want to tell you, that's a work that's full of junk. I may have prayed with the guy, but my heart was not in doing what God wanted. You with me? You with me? There are things you do, y'all, that are not God motivated. They may look like God motivated, they're not. But you know your heart. God knows your heart. And so you lay that junk on God's conveyor belt that's going to put God's holy fire on your junk. And I want to tell you, there's going to be so much smoke that angels are going to be looking for masks. You know, oh, get out of here. But then there are good things that you did that after God's purifying holy fire are going to still remain at the end of the conveyor belt. And God says, I'm going to reward you for that. And I know the Bible explains it as God giving us crowns. We don't know what it's all going to be like. But whatever it is, it's going to be absolutely, totally good. We're towards heaven. Hold on to the fact that you have something coming in heaven. Now, let me just give you some perspective. D.L. Moody made this quote. I'm going to put it on the screen right here. Don't become so heavenly minded that you are of no earthly good. Don't become so heavenly minded that you are of no earthly good. Life on earth is good, y'all. Life on earth is good. These are the most exciting of times. We're living in a time when Jesus may show up at any time. We're that generation. This is good. Of course, there's bad things happening. There's injustice and there's godliness and there's godlessness and there's evil. And there are terrible things that are happening, and those are no good. But there's a lot of good things. So, hey, laughter is good. Don't you love to laugh? Yeah, okay. Laughter is good. Traveling is good. Going to see places you've never been to or revisiting the places you've been to. Aren't relationships good? Yes, marriage can be amazing. Sexy marriage is amazing. I didn't hear an amen. I only heard a couple of people go. Fulfillment. Listen, doing something that's fulfilling at work, that's good. When you do something, you accomplish something, man, it makes you feel so good. Food is good. Warm donuts are good. Lattes, ice cold lattes are good. I can't wait for the fall flavors to start. You know what I'm saying? They're coming. They're coming. I'm going to be there. This is good. It's not as good as that, but it's good. So enjoy what you got right now. When Sarah was going to get married, and she got married now, my little girl's over there. She got married to James and loved James. Anyway, James put her in this 5-star hotel in Orlando to spend a couple of nights before the wedding. They also rented a Rolls Royce, brand spanking new Rolls Royce. They were just traveling town like, yeah. Right? They didn't give me a ride on it, but I saw it. I was like, whoa. Well, anyway, he said, hey, why don't you guys, mom and dad, me and Doreen, why don't you spend the night in that 5-star hotel the night before the wedding? And we're like, yes, I've never been to a 5-star hotel. I mean, in fact, one day can I tell them this story? When we were recently married, I'm just a poor preacher. And so we stayed at a hotel. We stayed at a 2-star hotel. And there were roaches in there, in that room. And I promised her, I said, well, we're never going to spend another night in a 2-star hotel, okay? So we improved from there. But we had never spent a night at a 5-star hotel. Yikes. In fact, I went downstairs to get some coffee wearing my pajamas, right? I was wearing my Bigfoot pajamas. Doreen said, like, don't go downstairs in your big pajamas. Okay, you're in a 5-star hotel. I'm like, people are going to think I have so much money. I don't care that I'm wearing my Bigfoot pajamas. So I go out there. So it was incredible. I'm going too long into the story. Sorry. So James is rolling around in a Rolls. And he says, hey, Pops. That's what they call it, Pops. Tonight, I'm going to give you the ticket for my valet for the Rolls. And when you get there, you explain to the valet people that you don't have the Rolls anymore, but you got your car, and this is the ticket. I'm like, okay. So I go over there, and I'm already sweating the details, and I get there, Doreen and I get to this place, and there's all nice cars around, you know, and But the valet guys, they were not there, so I get out of my car and I'm waiting around. And the guy said, "Hey, man, let me have your ticket." And I said, I start fumbling and mumbling about the car. And I said, "Well, you know, my future son-in-law gave me this ticket about a Rolls, but the Rolls is not here right now." And he's like, "I don't understand what you're saying." And so I explained it again. And he said, "Oh, I get it. You don't have the Rolls with you anymore tonight." I'm like, "That's correct." He said, what car did you bring? A Maserati?" I said, "I brought my Honda." He said, "Excuse me." I'm like, "My Honda, man, there it is right there. I have a 10-year-old Honda." You know? He thought I had a Maserati after bringing a Rolls, and now I have a Honda. Ah! Now, listen, I love my Honda. I call him AI. Alien Invictus. I love my Alien Invictus. It's a good car. If we could spiritualize this, listen. Heaven is the Rolls Royce. What you got right now is your Honda. Enjoy your Honda. But no, there's a Rolls coming your way. And you got to look forward to the Rolls. So for your notes, write this down. While you live on earth, celebrate life. You're a born-again believer, stop kicking cans along the way and celebrate your life. Mark Twain wrote many years ago, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you did not do than by the ones you did do. So throw off the bow lines, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover. Why not? For your notes, write the words, "Praise God." So you celebrate the life the Lord has given you, and you praise God along the way. Someone may say that's sitting here or watching me on video, "That all sounds good, man, but I don't even know if I have what it takes to get there." A Christian. Christian may be like, I keep failing and I do good and then I fail and I do good. I don't know if I have what it takes to get to heaven one day. Okay, well, here's the good news. It's true, you and I don't have what it takes to get to heaven. But that's why God sent his son into the world. For anyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus was good enough to get you to heaven one day. It's not about you. It's not about you keeping it straight line. No. It's about the blood of Jesus that he shed on the cross. What he did is good enough to get those who believe into heaven. So, for your notes, write this. This is good news, man. When you know Jesus, all pressure's off. All pressure's off. I'm going to read 1 Peter 1, 4 and 5 again, but this time from the New Living Translation. "We have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, and through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation." Did you hear me? God is protecting you. Jesus said, "Man, listen, I'll hold you in my hands. I'm not going to let you go until you get there." That's what he's saying. He's saying, "Until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see." Your reward in heaven is a sure thing when you know Jesus as your Savior. God makes it a sure thing. Last two blanks for your notes. God's grace saves you and keeps you until you get to heaven. That's good news, man. You don't have to wonder what's going to happen when I die. No. God promised, "I'm going to get you there. I'm going to get you there." "Yeah, but you don't know what I do." God promised, "I'm going to get you there." Jesus is strong enough, good enough, gracious enough to say, "I love you, I hold you, and I'm going to make sure you go from here to there. No problem." Isn't God good? Yeah, I got to thinking about the Hulkster. I'm going to close with this. Oh, I love the way he just like, rawr. I got to thinking. In fact, I almost preached this, but I didn't. I wonder what Jesus said to the Hulkster when he got there. What did Jesus say to Hulk Hogan when he got to heaven? Okay, brother. That's good. I think Jesus would have said to him three things. I don't want to elaborate on this. That could be a sermon altogether. But I think Jesus would have said to him, thank you for making people laugh and entertaining people and getting their emotions all riled up, because he would. If you're a WWE kind of guy or a WWF kind of guy, people went crazy over Hulk Hogan. And I think Jesus would have said, you know, I made people exactly that way so they could laugh and they could get passionate about things. Thank you for using your platform to entertain people. I think Jesus would have said that. And I think Jesus would have said to Hulk Hogan, I wish you would have taken more care of your body while you were on earth. Because he was hurting. I mean, I'm sure all those body slams, all those, you know, pile drivers, and the time that he picked up Andre the Giant, all 520 pounds of Andre the Giant. Did you see that in the videos? He just, boom. And then he ran and went, doom. All that stuff hurt him big time. And I think Jesus would have said, I wish you would have taken more care of your body while you were down there. And I think Jesus would have said to him, thank you for recognizing that I went down there to die for your sins. Thank you for understanding the truth that nothing else really matters other than loving me. And then Jesus would have said to the Hulkster, welcome home, and here's your inheritance. Whoa. I think when we get there, we're going to be like, wow. Wow, wow, wow. I want to keep saying, wow, wow. We're going to be blown away. When you meet Jesus, what will he say when he sees you? Is he going to say, welcome home. Check all this out that I made for you. Yeah? Folks, the challenge today is keep your eyes on him and keep your eyes on what's coming, because what's coming is good. It's really good. And it's real. Amen? That's all God wanted me to say. Let's pray together. Father, I hope and pray, and I'm praying for my brothers and sisters here. I hope and pray, God, that we all stay focused on you. You alone. There might be somebody watching me on Facebook or YouTube, or somebody sitting here saying, I don't know if I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I don't know if heaven is my inheritance. I don't know where I'm going. Listen, if the Bible says that those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from an eternity away from the love of God forever in hell. Saved to enjoy a life that God promised in heaven. If you'd like to ask Jesus in your heart, I'm going to ask you to pray something like this right now. If you sense in your heart, man, I got to pray that. You pray something like this. Lord, thank you for dying for my sins. I, right now, give my heart to you. I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for all my sins. Lord Jesus, come inside my heart, save my soul. And I promise I'm going to do my best to follow you. I don't have it together. That's a lot of junk in my life right now. But I'm going to commit my life to you right now. Help me live for you. If you pray something simple like that, and nobody looking, but if you just pray something simple, you've never given your heart to Jesus before, but you did this morning, you prayed to receive Jesus as Savior, will you raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come down. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I just want you to let me know, hey, I prayed that prayer with you for the first time ever. I just got saved. Anybody here? Anybody here? Okay. Maybe if you prayed to receive Jesus wherever you are, in your car, in your house, wherever, I want to tell you, God heard your prayer, and He will begin a work in your life that will be absolutely amazing. God, all of us believers here, our heart's desire is to please You. Help us do that. Sometimes, God, there's so much in me that I cannot even see You in me. Help us do whatever it takes so that we can start putting our treasures up in heaven. If you would like for me to pray for you, you say, man, will you pray for me that I start building my treasures in heaven? Nobody's looking. I'm the only one looking. Just raise your hand. Anybody here? You say, man, will you pray for me that I start building my treasures in heaven? Anybody? Oh, I see you back there. God bless you. Hey, I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. Anyone else? I see you. I see you. God bless you. Hey, I see you, man, back there. Hey, I see you back there. Yep. And you say, man, oh, pray for me that I could just start building treasures up. Hey, I see you. God bless you. Anyone else? Hey, I see you. Yep. Anyone else? Anyone? Hey, I see you back there, bro. Anyone else? You say, man, well, pray for me. I want to start building treasures up in heaven. Anyone else? Hands going up. Hey, I see you. God bless you. Hands going up all over the place. Hey, yep. Father, in the name of Your Son, Jesus, You saw the hands raised. You saw the hearts bowed. God, I ask You that You would help these folks an extra portion of Your grace and mercy to continue to do the very best they can to honor You with their lives. Father, build an army, Your army of believers, and start here at this church. We need You more than ever before, God. We ask You all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You so much. We're gonna